2 Timothy chapter 3, if you will, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want to talk to you about a return to the supernatural. It's a little late, but technically this is the message the Lord's given me for the new year. A return to the supernatural, 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now, Father, I thank you, God, with all my heart for your mercy. I thank you, Jesus, for how tender you are with us as your people. David the king said, God, if you took notice of our failings, none of us could stand. But there's mercy with you that you may be feared. Thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. No wonder if there's such a thing as a crown when we get to the throne one day, we'll throw it at your feet. For we know we have lived and we have stood and we have walked by the mercy of God. Thank you for your power. Thank you, God Almighty, for your willingness to come to us and speak to our hearts. Give us the ability to hear you today. Give me the ability to speak this. Lord, walk the aisles of this church. God, lift up those that are cast down. Set free those that are oppressed. Answer the questions of those that are struggling in their mind. Lord, let everything become clear. We stand against every weapon of darkness and hell that comes against the people of God. And Satan, we resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We declare this to be holy ground here today, not only here, but in North Jersey, on the campus, in the annex, and everywhere that people are listening online. We take authority, and Lord God, we want to hear from you. We want to grow in grace. We want to be able to make a difference in our generation. I thank you, Lord, for time and again touching this frail preacher. I thank you, God, for putting your spirit upon me, for giving me your mind. I thank you for the incredible demonstration of grace that you would even consider using me to speak your word. Today, Lord, I yield my body to you, and I ask you, God, to use me for your glory. Lord Jesus, that I may simply speak and do this in a way that brings honor to your name. Help me never to condemn your people. And God, help me to speak this word. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verses 1 to 5. This message is called A Return to the Supernatural. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, that means without family affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, that means unable to retain anything of value, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, Paul speaks of the last days of this world in this passage of Scripture as we know it. But his description of the obvious social, moral, and religious decay also applies to any society coming to its final stages because of inward decay. And it's a sad thing in my heart to have to say that I am witnessing this in this country at this time. The things that are spoken about in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5, have almost become the normal now in our society. Proverbs 49 and verse 11 says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. The arrogance of man, the arrogance of a society that turns itself away from God, begins to turn to its own reasoning or lack thereof, thinking that all things are going to continue as they have been from the beginning. But again, in Psalm 55 and verse 23, the psalmist says, deceitful men shall not live out half of their days. When we turn to deception, when we turn to evil, when we turn away from God, when we cover it all up with a bankrupt form of spirituality, then the end of things as we have known them is very, very near. In Proverbs 24, 21, and 22, God says to Solomon, my son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. In other words, those who recklessly challenge that which has already been proven and tested, they come in and without any fear of retribution or consequence, they will trample on history. They will trample on what has been clearly proven and established to be the way of God. And they'll call it a good thing. But God's word says, for those that walk with God, fear God, and don't meddle with those that are given to change. Don't become part of it. Don't let it become that which occupies your thinking. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knows the ruin of them both? That means the previous verses talk about the evil and the wicked in the sight of God. Who knows the ruin? There's a sudden calamity comes to those who recklessly challenge that which God has clearly proven of himself. Now, you and I know that we're called in such days as these to make a difference. We are called to make a difference. We're not called to hunker down and hold the fort and hope to survive. We're not called to preserve ourselves. We're called to make a difference in our society. And I thank God with all my heart that I've studied this Bible to know, long enough to know that in days like this, when there seems to be so little hope that righteousness is going to prevail, God will always have somebody somewhere. He will always raise up a testimony. And most often it's the least among us. It's that corner of the church or the testimony of God where we least expected God to do anything, because we are only looking with our natural eyes. If we were to walk through scriptural history, we have to ask ourselves the question, would we have had the eyes to see Gideon in his backyard sifting wheat as a mighty man of God? Would we have looked upon Deborah and Barak, her general, and thought that this was going to be what God was going to use to defeat an overwhelming army that was coming against them? All throughout history, when things look the worst, one more time, God takes the weak and the foolish and the nobodies and the nothings of society, and he begins to raise them up, and he establishes a testimony to himself that could only, so the people stand back and say, this could only have been God. How else could this have happened? These people don't have the natural strength or ability or reasoning power. They don't have the strategy that could have made a difference. Only God could have done this. Paul says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16, that you might be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. This is the call of God on my life. This is the call of God on your life. We live in a crooked and perverse time, but you and I are called to shine as lights. That light is not to be hidden under a bushel. According to the word of God, it's to be set on a hill that people can plainly see it. And we're to hold forth to this generation something of God's word in such a way that people look at it and say, surely God is alive. Surely God has a people in the earth. Isaiah 59 and 19 says, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. God will raise up a standard. God will raise up an opposing force, may I call it that, a counter to that which would swallow up society into ungodliness. And so you and I see there's tremendous power for good given into the hands of those who truly know and walk with God. But yet, in order to know this power, we must turn away from all that has settled for imitation over the genuine. See, this is the key. Paul is describing in 2 Timothy 3 a social climate of evil, where evil begins to be good and good begins to be evil, where society itself begins to despise people who are good. They despise people who go to church. They despise people who speak the truth because truth has fallen into the streets. They despise those who say there is a God and there's a right way to live and there's a wrong way to live according to this God. They despise those who are standing and saying, you may think that you're going to go in this direction without suffering harm, but I beg to differ, for I have walked with God and I have studied the word of God, and the direction you're heading in is going to bring about a destruction of not only yourselves, but those who follow you. But Paul says there's in the midst of all of this, there's a people who have a form of godliness, but there's no power in it. You see, a true relationship with God leads somewhere. They're not willing to follow where it leads, so they're settled for form. They settle basically for an imitation. We must turn away from all that's an imitation. Now, I want you to hear me on this. I'm not just sermonizing. I have something from God. If you and I are going to make a difference in this generation, we must turn away from that which imitates God, but is not in reality walking with God. It's not finding its life source in God. We must turn away from it. It's easy to get drawn in by the crowd. It's easy to come to a place like this and to begin to sing the songs. You are my King. You are my God. You are my refuge. You are the one that I seek. You are the one that I love. You are the one that I follow. You are the one that will teach my hands how to war. You are the one. And so we came in today, and I don't know if you noticed, but there were powerful words in the songs that we were singing today. And so the question I feel the Holy Spirit would ask of every heart here, were these words true? Or were you just imitating worship? Which is it, folks? We've got to make a choice now. That which is imitation is not going to make it through the coming days. Those who simply imitate others who are walking with God, you're simply, if you come to church just because it makes you feel good, it's not good enough, folks. It won't get you through the coming days. It's not good enough to imitate. It's not good enough to come in and sing the songs, but not really mean it in your heart. Now stay with me on this, because the Lord's not given me this message to condemn anybody here. The Lord's given me this message because He loves you. Because He wants you to understand His power. He wants you to walk in something of divine life. Paul said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, and prove your own selves. We can't be afraid to have God examine our hearts and say, Lord, is what I have genuine? Am I really walking with You? Have I settled for some kind of a form of religion, but there's no power in it? What is it that I have? What is it that I have embraced? Now, in Matthew chapter 22, there's a parable that it's actually more than a parable, because it's the history of God coming through His Son to Israel first. And when Israel rejected Him, He invited that nation, which were His people in the earth, to a wedding feast with His Son, but they refused the invitation. And then when you get to verse 9 in Matthew chapter 22, after Israel has soundly rejected Christ as a nation, He said to His servants, go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as you shall find, bid them to the marriage. Now that's you and me today. That's the highways. That's the hedges. Go into all the world. Israel was invited. Israel rejected the invitation. Because of the rejection of Israel, the gospel came to the Gentiles, of which most of us here today are. And God's message to His servants was, go now into the highways, into all the world, preach and teach the gospel to all creation, and bid them to the marriage that I prepared for my Son. So I thank God for that with all my heart. I thank God that I have an invitation to this banquet feast. So those servants went out into all the highways and gathered together as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. Those who went to church and needed the invitation as much as those who didn't go to church. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, friend, how did you come in here not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Now, it's amazing, the fact that he was speechless. You see, if he was an open fraud, he would have already developed his conversation, and his excuses would already be well developed, and he would have had an answer. The fact that he was speechless tells me that he was not aware that what he possessed was an imitation. It wasn't real. He thought he belonged to this family. He thought he belonged to this banquet. He thought he had a lawful right to be there. He thought he was part of the bride of Christ, may I call it that. Only to find out when he came into the presence, the true presence of God, he had no garment. He had a garment of his own making, but it was an imitation. Anything that's an imitation, anything that falls short of that garment which God provides through His Son, will be so blatantly obvious when we get into the presence of God. See, the question the Lord would ask us today Have you seen the depths and the just penalty for your sin? Have you fully understand what sin is? Have you understood it? Have you seen Christ on the cross? Have you understood? Have you seen the ugliness of the cross? Have you seen the vileness of it, the shame of it? Have you fully understood that the Son of God endured this for you? Because of your sin. It was not some judicial obligation. God loved you. The scripture makes that really clear. God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, sent his Son who had never done anything wrong, allowed him to be beaten, and I read it again last night, and spit on and buffeted and mocked and slandered and put him on a cross virtually naked on a hill before the whole world, shamed. Have you understood that he did that for you? Because that was your destiny without God, without the mercy of God. It was my destiny without the mercy of God. Have you fully understood the depths of sin? Jesus didn't die on the cross to give you a better self-image. He didn't die on the cross to get you a promotion on your job. He didn't die on the cross so you could add his name to your resume to make you a happier person in the world, although many of those things may happen. That's not why he died. He died for you because your sin separated you from God for eternity. Have you deeply received his offer of forgiveness? Have you fully understood that he died in your place? And the way to eternal life through God is to bend your knee before him. Bend your knee before the one who died for you and say, Lord, I yield my life to you. I open my heart to your offer of forgiveness. And I receive you as my Lord and Savior. And I yield to you the rights of my life. I yield to you my future. I give you my all. You bought me, O God, with the price of your blood. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Not only do I receive you as Savior, but I receive you as the Lord of my life from this day forward. I want to ask you the question, is the garment of salvation you have, is it an original? Is it a genuine or is it simply an imitation? What really have you come to Christ for? Why are you in this house this morning? What do you hope to get from God? Folks, I'll tell you, I got everything from God that I'll ever need on Calvary. If I would have died the day after I received him as Savior and Lord, that would be sufficient for me. He owes me nothing. He gave me everything on that cross on Calvary's Hill. Thank God. I knew in my heart the day after I opened my heart to him that my salvation was real. I knew it because God had put his Spirit upon me and in me. And the Bible says that when you belong to God, there is a cry. It doesn't come just because there's good worship in the church. It's a cry that's there Monday morning. It's there Monday afternoon. It's there Tuesday. It's there Wednesday. It's there Thursday. It's there when you're on the mountaintop. It's there when you're in the valley. It's a cry that says, Abba, Father. Oh, God, you are my Father. God, you are my Father. I am your son. I am your daughter, if that's the case. I know I am yours and I know you are mine because you have put the witness of your Holy Spirit within me. I don't have an imitation. My praise of you is not limited to Sunday morning and Tuesday night. I can praise you on the subway. I can praise you in the job. I can praise you, God. Hallelujah. I can praise you when my son and daughter are heading out the door to do drugs and do things they shouldn't do because you are a faithful God and I believe that you're going to be faithful to me. And so it comes to the, after you've come to the cross and fully understood Christ, are you willing to let his life within you? You see, we don't grow in grace by helping ourselves and by self effort. That's not how it's done. That's how the whole world does everything. No, God says, you tried to serve me, you couldn't. You tried to be godly, it's impossible. And now you've bent your knee at the cross, and I've come into your life in the power of the third person of God, the Holy Spirit. You are now my temple on the earth, and I've left you promises, precious promises, Peter says, and by these you become partakers of the divine nature of God. In Christ, not by human effort, but by believing the promises of God. My my responsibility is to put my feet one in front of the other in faith and believe God, even though it looks like I'm walking into a brick wall, even though the certificates, if I had any on my wall, tell me I'm not capable of doing what God's calling me to do. My responsibility is when God opens a door, I walk through that door. I walk through it in faith. I walk through it believing. God, what you told me you're going to do in my life, you're going to do. You're going to stretch my borders. You're going to expand my mind. You're going to give me a new heart. You're going to flow through my life. And God Almighty, it's going to be an evidence that there is a God in this universe. It's going to be an open declaration that God's Son was raised from the dead because I will be raised from the dead by the power of God's Spirit within me. The chains of sin will be broken. The bondages of hell will fall. There's nothing of this world that can hold me any longer. There's no prison door strong enough to keep me behind it. There's no wound of the past that can keep dragging my face through the mud. There's no lie of hell that can stop what God has determined to do through my life and yours. In those who belong to God, there's a willingness within us to let him become our total guide into the future. I don't yield just little portions of my life to God. Here, you can have this. You can have Monday from 3 to 5. I'll give that to you. And I'll give you Thursday a little slot here in my life. And the rest of the time, leave me alone. Thank you very much. I've got my plans. No, the true child of God, the true son or daughter of God, lets the Holy Spirit become our total guide. And can the Holy Spirit lead you out of weakness and into strength? Will you let him do it? Don't try. You can't. It's not possible. But God's Spirit within you can. And will you let him lead you? Will you let him take you as a child of God? And out of fear and into faith and out of the limitations of your natural body and your natural mind into the supernatural, that of God which knows no limit. I'll tell you, this is not always been an easy walk for me, but I'll tell you one thing, it's been anything but boring. For these 36 years I've walked with God now, oh my goodness, what a journey this has been. What a journey. I've said it here before, but I often tell Pastor Therese, I fear sometimes, like I came out of the church in Riceville, I was hit by a truck, I've been in a coma for all these years, and none of this has really happened. Which, of course, makes it really bad news for you. That means none of you really exist. You're all... But the reality is that you do exist, and it is a supernatural life, and God is faithful. He does take us from, as he said, image to image and glory to glory. In other words, from place to place by his power. That's the glory. Glory means that which is of God, which brings his own name to reputation through us. He changes us from image to image, from what we used to be to what he wants us to be. And Paul knew this. The Apostle Paul said, I've not arrived, basically, at this high calling of God. Now, he says this close to the end of his life. But he says, I'm pressing on to this high calling of God that he has for my life. And I'm leaving behind me that which needs to be left behind. Taken out of the natural and brought into the supernatural life of God. This is the standard which will push back evil. And it will give our nation a season for men and women to consider their ways and to turn back to God. This is the standard. It's not some new super preacher somewhere. It's the body of Christ. It's the whole church. It's those who really know God. Finally, yielding, bending the knee, receiving their salvation, receiving Christ as their Lord, and saying, Holy Spirit, lead me now. And let my life be used for a divine purpose on the earth. That divine purpose leading to one thought, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, because nobody else but God could do this. I had an old hockey coach one time that came to hear me preach. This is from years and years ago. He was a coach for quite a few years. And after he'd heard me preach, he met me at the back door and he said, if I hadn't seen it, I'd never have believed it. But now I've seen it, and he said, I want you to know that I believe. And that's an amazing thing. There should be such change come into your life. Remember, the scripture says, if anyone is in Christ, they become a new creation. The old things in them pass away. Behold, all things become new. It's not necessarily overnight. But as we walk with God, the chains of the past are broken. The roots that held us to the bondage of sin are literally cut away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, the tree may still be standing, but it's lost its power to draw life. And it dies little by little, step by step. It begins to die, and this new life of God is worked within us. The willingness to let the Holy Spirit lead us. We must come back to the supernatural again. We're in a situation in our time where evil thinks it has the upper hand. But I beg to differ, because God is. I beg to differ because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. I beg to differ because he triumphed over the power and penalty of sin. I beg to differ because God's word says he takes the weak and the nobodies and the nothings of this world, and he puts his Spirit upon us, and he establishes a testimony of the reality of who he is. I beg to differ because God is willing to do things in us and through us that can't be done by human effort, only by the Spirit of God. I beg to differ because God is willing to put within us a song that is so deep, so profound, so powerful. The Scripture says that men will see it and fear and trust in God. The evidence of this being truth will not just show up in this room. There was 120 in the upper room, and they had bent their knee at the cross. They all knew they were failures, every one of them. They all knew they couldn't stand in their own strength. They'd all fled. It's as if the church had to have that origin so that men and women would not become pompous and proud in the sight of God. Everyone in that room had run away. And even those who were within proximity were far enough away simply to still procure their own safety, as Peter did in the outer court and others did. Everybody knew they didn't have the strength to walk in this kingdom. And there was 120 in that upper room, and the Holy Spirit came, and God began to speak to every heart about what he was willing to do through a surrendered life. And every person had a word from the Lord, and everyone was given the ability to communicate with people in other parts of the world that which God had promised he was going to do through them. And see, the evidence of being led of the Spirit, the evidence of being used of the Spirit, is not just how we worship in this church. Folks, we can all leave this sanctuary today and talk about how great the worship was on Sunday. Oh, it was awesome. You ought to have been there. No. The evidence of it is not just what happens in the upper room. It's what happens outside of the upper room. There is the evidence. It's what happens when we get out of this sanctuary. What comes out of our mouths? What kind of faith has come into our hearts? What kind of carrying power of the Holy Spirit is within us? Oh, yes, they were unashamed. They were outnumbered, but unashamed. And God used these 120 to change the whole known world and even bring down the arrogance of the Roman Empire all around it. Folks, we've got to get that in our heart one more time. We've got to understand that it's not optional to return to the supernatural. We need the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We need the victory of the cross. And we need, as they had, a determination to say, oh God, if I die, I die. As Esther did when she went into the king, they had that same cry in their heart when they came out of the upper room. If I die, I die. But I'm going out honoring God, and I'm not going to be quiet. In a season where they're rejoicing over having crucified my Christ because he's alive. I know he's alive. He lives inside of me. He's changing me from image to image and glory to glory. So I'm going out into the marketplace, and I'm going to lift up my hands, and I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm going to tell people, I'm going to communicate with people what God has done, what God is going to do, who God really is. I'm going to tell them, and I'm going to do it without shame and without fear. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We've cowered down long enough now. Long enough we've let immoral people teach our children. Long enough we've let people tell us when we can pray, when we can't, what we can pray, what we can't. Long enough we've cowered down. Now it's time for the power of God. It's time to stand up again. Those who believe in God, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Glory, 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 glory. We must pray. We're going to start to pray Tuesday nights. We're going to pray with other believers from other countries. We're going to pray with people who've never prayed before. We're going to go out in the subways. We're going to advertise in 1,000 subway cars and ask people to join us on Tuesday night to pray who've never been in a prayer meeting. We're going to pray. But we have to be willing to pray that in this unpopular time towards the gospel of Jesus Christ, that God would give you and I greater courage, a deeper than ever spiritual authority, and that people by the multitudes would be healed by the life of Jesus Christ flowing out through us. Peter and John went into the temple to pray. They saw a man lame from birth. They looked at him and they said to him, in the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. That man got up from his lame position, even in proximity to the temple of God. And he walked into the house of God, leaping and dancing and praising and holding on to Peter and John. The authorities heard about it and they called them in. And when they could find nothing else, because it was threatening to overthrow their tinsel kingdom, and when they could find nothing else to do, they threatened them with repercussion. If you don't stop speaking in the name of Jesus, we're going to take away your freedom. We're going to cause suffering to come into your life. And what did Peter and John do? They left that hall of threatening and they went to a prayer meeting. Thank God, that's where they went. And in that prayer meeting, they prayed. And they said, God, you are God. You made the earth, the heaven, the sea, and everything there is. Who by the mouth of your servant David said, why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine in vain that they can overthrow you? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel are gathered together. It seems, in other words, like everybody everywhere is against this testimony. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. Give us more, they said, of what got us into trouble yesterday. Give us more. They didn't pray for protection. They said, God, stretch forth your hand to heal. And let signs and wonders be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Give us boldness. Give us faith. It doesn't mean arrogance. It doesn't mean rebelliousness. It means faith. Give us faith to say to those that have no strength, get up and walk in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. To those that are behind prison doors, you can be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us faith is what they were praying about. Let us speak the word of God with authority. Let us not cower back. Let us not snicker when we're opposed and cower under opposition. And when they prayed, the place where they were was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so my question today to you and to me is the place where we are right now, does it need to be shaken? Is your salvation real? That's a question you have to be able to answer, or you'll find yourself speechless at the banquet table of the Lamb. Do you have a real salvation or an imitation? Do you have a desire to turn from sin? Salvation, when you and I come to the cross, When on the day of Pentecost, Peter said, they said, what must we do to be saved? And Peter's the first thing out of his mouth is repent and be baptized. In other words, turn away from wrong and admit you can't change, but God will change you. That's what baptism is about. Put away your strength, put away your direction, put away your activities, and take on the activities of another. Do you really want to turn from sin? We live in a generation where, you know, our young people, especially, and old as well, but there's such immorality in this society now that it's permeated the Church of Jesus Christ as well. And everybody doesn't really want to turn from their sin. I often say to the young people in this church, in New York City, people don't come here because they want a mortgage, a marriage, three kids, and a garage. Most young people want a career, they want their independence, they want to experience the wonders, if there is such a thing, of New York City. And they want to stay single, but they don't want to go without sex. And so they don't mind slipping once in a while. It's like a man who doesn't salt his driveway, his walkway, and he's always falling down in the walkway, and his neighbor comes to him with a bag of salt, says, here, can I sprinkle this on your walkway? And the man says, no, I enjoy a good slip every once in a while. See, because I can come back to the house of God and God will forgive me, won't he? The Bible warns us, you know, there's great grace in Christ. But if we abuse that grace, you can be turned over to a darkened mind. A spiritually dark mind that thinks it has a garment for the wedding. You see, those who really belong to Christ want to turn away from their sin. It doesn't mean we don't fail. It doesn't mean we don't struggle. It doesn't mean we don't fall. But it does mean that in our hearts, there's a sincerity and God knows it's there. God knows that we want to walk in truth. We want to turn away. And it may take a season for some because old habit patterns and some die hard. But there will be a change. The Word of God does say, old things pass away and all things become new. Lying tongues can speak truth. Lustful minds can have God's purity planted within them. There can be freedom in Christ. Are you wanting to walk with God? If you are genuinely a believer in Christ, there's an inner desire to walk with God. There's an inner desire for the pathway that God has before you. It's planted there by God. Something in the heart starts crying out, oh God, use my life for your glory. I remember when I came to Christ as a young police officer, I had no speaking skill. I still don't really. I remember walking the beat and I this inner cry, oh God, use my life for your glory. Do something through me. And then the cry got bigger and I started praying an impossible prayer. Oh, Lord, I want to be used of you to win 100,000 people to Christ before I die. And then my prayer got specific. I don't want them to be just people who raise their hands in a meeting somewhere, but people who actually walk with you and actually finish the journey and actually live a life that brings honor to you. I'd never preached a sermon. I had no power to speak anywhere, but I knew God had set me free from fear. I knew He was a God who could do the impossible. And so I began to pray. I've lived to see thousands and thousands and thousands come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I still believe that God will answer my prayer even today. That those that are listening to the sound of my voice in this sanctuary and in other places will not let this be a deficient salvation. It will not just be a raised hand in a meeting somewhere so you can get out from under bondage and somehow feel good about your life. No, it will be a surrendering of your life to Jesus Christ. And a willingness to go against the grain, a willingness to say, God, I'm going to stand no matter what anybody else does. And I'm going to speak and I'm going to testify of you. You open the door, I'll go through it. You present the opportunity, I will speak. I will not cower down. For what do the snickers of this generation really matter in eternity anyway? None of them will be there in eternity with me unless I tell them about Jesus Christ. Oh God, let my life be a demonstration of your power. Bring me into the supernatural. I'll tell you, I'll close with this. This is a supernatural life. It's amazing. It is awesome. It's an incredible life. Don't be sold short. Don't give up what God has for you for the temporary pleasures that are just simply going to pass away soon. But walk in the supernatural. That's the standard. There is no other standard. There's no other. We've tried everything. We've had the political organizations. We've had the strategies. We've gotten together and given each other chocolates and roses, and none of it works. The only thing that ever will work is what already has worked. It's been proven. It's been tried. It's been tested. It's here. Raphael, if you would come, please, and lead us in worship. And I'm throwing my heart and life in with this altar call. I'm asking God that the glory of the latter temple, that means the final years of my life, would be greater than the former. I'm asking Him to keep me from the lethargy of heart and the desire for rest that comes to you when you get older. I'm asking Him to keep me alive till the last, spiritually alive, till the last day of my physical life on the earth. I have a specific prayer that I pray. I said, God, like the prophet of old, may I be reaching out to those coming after and saying, smite the arrow on the ground, smite it again, smite it again, helping people to walk with Christ. Lord God, help us to yield to You and to let You do what You want to do through our lives in this generation. Help us to say yes to You, Lord, and to yield to You. And to know, God, You have a sovereign and a supernatural life for each one of us. A life uniquely designed for us that will bring glory to Your name, because nobody else can live what You've called us to live. We are unique in the earth. You have a pathway before our feet that we haven't even seen yet. We've not even dreamt of it. You have things that You want to do through each of us, O God, as a demonstration to this generation that there is a God. He's a God of incredible mercy and grace. And Father, I thank You, Lord, for people who can hear this message today, that as we move into this fasting and prayer time this year, Lord, it would not be just church as usual. You take us deeper and farther than we've ever gone before. Ask You, Lord, for the grace to finish the way the church began. Began in an upper room, proceeded into the marketplace and changed the world. Father, give us the grace to finish as a church age the way the church began. Lord, I thank You for this in Jesus' name. We're going to stand in a moment. If you need to give your life to Jesus Christ, you come. If you have been afraid to let the Holy Spirit lead you, you come. If you're enduring opposition in your family, your neighborhood, your workplace, you come. Pray, God, give me boldness and stretch out Your hands through me and begin to heal people all around me. Let's stand together. If that's you, just come and we'll worship together. In the annex, you can step between the screens and North Jersey as well. Praise God. Balcony, you go to either exit. Just come, please, just come. Hallelujah. Before we pray, I see a lot of tears here. I see a lot of deep conviction of the Holy Spirit. You need to know that God passionately loves you. You need to know that. And He's willing to cover you, and He's willing to give you strength, and He's willing to change you. And it will be all of Him. All He requires of us is a heart that says, God, lead me. And what You speak to me, help me to believe You. Help me, God, to go through every door You open before me. Hallelujah. And so one day, You and I will appear in heaven, and we're not going to be ashamed. Doesn't mean we didn't make mistakes, and doesn't mean we didn't struggle along the way. It doesn't mean that God didn't have to pick us up 7 times. But we made it, thank God. We did it honestly. I want to pray. I want to pray not for you today. I want to pray for the city. You and I will become the instrument of God's blessing to the city. And then I want to sing a song. I think Raphael knows it. I can only imagine what it's going to be like. We read today about a guy who got to the banquet and he was speechless. We're not going to be speechless. I'm a little inhibited because of my Canadianness and whiteness. I'm going to be honest about it, but I won't be in heaven. I'll be able to dance. I'm not much of a dancer, but I'll be able to dance there. I don't even have one move. I don't even have a move. Praise God. The only dancer I ever saw worse than me was Pastor Dave. That was very comforting, thank God. The Bible says that from the throne of God proceeded a clear stream of water, and it gave life everywhere it went. Everything it touched blossomed. Oh God, oh God, oh God, I ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, that you would make us that clear stream of water to this city, Lord. That everywhere we go, as we go back to our neighborhoods and our homes and our businesses, Lord, whatever it is that we do, that we'd be a clear stream of water. And God, through us, you give drink to people who are thirsty, and health to those that are failing, and hope to those that are living in darkness. Oh God, forgive us for ever taking lightly your love for us, Lord. You so love us. God, give us the grace to open our hearts to you. And Father, I thank you, Lord. We won't always be perfect. We won't always do it right. But, oh God, we'll be sincere. And we'll trust you and believe you as much as we know how. Oh, Lord, I don't want to miss a single soul that you place in front of me for the rest of my days. Oh, God. I don't want to become self-consumed or dull or bored. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Keep me alive in the Spirit, oh God. Oh God, more than ever before. More, Lord. I don't want to go back just to the passion of my youth. I want to go beyond that, Lord. Deeper, farther, oh God, with experience and knowledge, Lord. Oh Jesus, let it be. Let it be, God. It's the cry of my heart, Lord. Let it be for this church, Lord, that our songs would be real and they'd be sung all week, and Sunday morning would just be an extension of the rest of the week. That we'd not come into the house week after week alone, but we'd be bringing in that which you've used us to win to you, oh God. Father, thank you for this, God, with all of our heart. And one day soon we're going to be home. One day soon you're going to call us home to the banquet table of the Lamb. Oh God, what a day that's going to be. What a day, Lord. We walked with you. We were sincere, Lord. That's the only prayer we have. We did it as best as we knew how. We trusted you. We believed you. We honored you. Father, I thank you. God, please, please, I pray for my brothers at this altar, especially my brothers, Lord, who want to walk with God. They want to quit failing and falling all the time. They want it to be real. I pray for a supernatural strength of the Holy Spirit to literally touch them from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. My God, my God, my God, raise up men. Raise up godly men in this generation, Lord. Real men of God. Real, real men of God. Oh, Jesus, I thank you for it, Lord. Real men who are not afraid. Father, I pray for the ladies of this congregation or at this altar, especially, Lord, your word says in Hebrews that women receive their dead raised to life again. I ask you, God, for a depth of Christ that they've never known before, to see their children come home and live for God, to see their prayers answered, to know you put power in their hands, to give them a testimony in the workplace and in the home and in the marketplace, oh God. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Son of God, shake the place where we are gathered, oh God, and fill us with the Holy Ghost, and give us boldness, Lord, and stretch forth your hands and begin to heal. Let healing go everywhere we travel. Let healing from despair and depression and captivity and sickness and darkness, oh God, let healing begin to flow. Jesus Christ, make this city like like a garden that blossoms, Lord. Take it away from being a desert and let it blossom, oh God. Let there be life. Let there be songs of praise. Oh God, let our children be glorifying you in the streets. My God, my God, my God, my God. We call out to you, Lord. Shake the place where we're gathered. Shake the place, Lord, and fill us with the Holy Spirit. Give us strength, oh God. Give us strength that can only come from the hand of God. Father, I thank you, Lord. We yield our bodies to this cause. We yield our lives. We yield our future, Lord. We yield it so that others may know you, so that others may dance around your banquet table. My God, so that others may find you a Savior. Shake us, Lord. Shake us, Holy Spirit. Shake us, Almighty God. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Folks, listen to me. I am not willing to let this generation of young people die. I'm taking them with me. My God, by the strength of God, I'm taking them with me. And you take them with you. We're not going to let them die. Christ is still alive. We're going to bring them home. And we're going to rejoice together around the banquet table of the Lamb. Let's give God glory in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.